live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, the Donegal GRA spokesperson has described a new report from the Oireachtas Justice Committee as a damning indictment of government policy in recent years. Buncrana has topped the list of areas affected by defective blocks in the county in a recent analysis of registrations by the MICA Action Group. There's been a 75% increase in homelessness in Donegal, and a Donegal deputy has hit out at the government for what he claims is the rushing through of the Sea Fisheries Amendment Bill. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin at about 5:15. But first the news. A new report from the Oireachtas Justice Committee has been described as a damning indictment of government policy in recent years. That's according to the Donegal GRA spokesperson, who isn't confident that recommendations set out in the report will be acted upon. The report recommends rural areas that lost Garda stations during the economic crash should get more resources and have vacant positions filled, as well as providing more training and support for Gardaí to deal with people suffering from mental health problems. The report also recommends more patrols in rural areas, increased funding for text alert systems, and better use of social media by Gardaí to improve engagement with isolated communities. GRA spokesperson Brendan O'Connor believes money needs to be better invested.
It's very frustrating, especially here in Donegal, because I suppose nearly all policing in Donegal was community policing, and we saw that completely jeopardised and dismantled. And we were told again and again about this smart policing, and that, you know, policing wasn't about buildings, it was about being in the community. And, you know, the submissions made from the IFA clearly stated that the people and the communities and the farmers they represent and the people in the communities didn't see that materialise. And the reality is that service was withdrawn and no alternative was put in place. It's also slightly frustrating to see all these people listed as stakeholders and experts in policing, yet the men and women on the ground who are out there, the living policing, who know more about policing than any expert who do it on a day-to-day basis, had no voice and no input into this report. So that's another missed opportunity. And we would say is, talk to the people on the ground. They know what policing is about, they know how it works, and they know where the failings are. So again, we have reservations. This is a damning indictment of many of the policies of both government and senior management from Garda headquarters over the years. We're now, I don't know, many years into a modernisation renewal programme. Our members are concerned. The opportunities will be wasted, and we're going down the same old cul-de-sacs, and whatever funds are available for investment aren't being spent properly on the things that will bring better and more enhanced policing. We still see bureaucracy, and we see things brought in that will actually take away the flexibility that's called for in this report.
Are you hoping, though, that the recommendations contained within the report will be taken seriously and maybe acted upon?
Well, of course, look, we never lose hope, but unfortunately, you know, we could fill a library here with reports that say the very basics, common sense.
Buncrana has topped the list of areas affected by defective blocks in the county in a recent analysis of registrations by the MICA Action Group. According to the report, there are now 185 homes registered in Buncrana as having defective block issues. It's understood that Letterkenny has now moved into second place with 154 homeowners having registered. Donal Kavanagh reports.
Following the analysis of almost 1,200 registrations in Donegal, the MICA Action Group says Buncrana, including Fawn, tops the list of areas affected by defective blocks, with 185 homes registered. The group says Letterkenny has moved into second place with 154 homeowners registered. That indicates the defective block issue affects a much wider area, they say. Findings also reveal 128 registrations in the Greater Mallon area, inclusive of Mallon Head, followed by 115 in Carndonagh, 83 in Clonmany, and 43 in Cooldaff. The group says this is only a snapshot, as the number of properties affected continues to increase.
New measures will be brought to Cabinet next week to deal with the housing crisis. It's after new figures showed record numbers in emergency accommodation and two new areas, Navan in County Meath and Limerick City East, becoming rent pressure zones. In Donegal, there has been a 75% increase in the number of those homeless. During the week, the 18th to the 24th of February, there were 21 homeless adults in the county, up from 12 the previous month. Across the northwest, 61 people and 11 families registered homeless last month. The Housing Minister has been defending the government's approach to the problem. However, Donegal Deputy Piers Doherty says it's a disgrace and he doesn't buy the crocodile tears from the Minister.
The Minister for Housing described the figures as hugely disappointing, Taoiseach. But they're a lot more than that. They're an absolute and utter disgrace. What they represent is a national scandal, not just disappointment. Because this isn't just about numbers. And you talk about maybe there's too much emotion. Maybe there's not enough emotion in relation to this debate.
The Taoiseach says he hopes Irish motorists won't need green cars to drive in the north if there's a no-deal Brexit. At the moment, drivers will need the cars to certify their insurance is valid. No deal is still on the table as the House of Commons is holding a further emergency Brexit debate tomorrow. Taoiseach Simon Coveney has been discussing the practical realities of that in the Dáil.
I would like to see a situation where we can agree an approach with the European Commission in terms of contingency planning for a no deal that wouldn't require the use of green cards on the island of Ireland.
All right, thank you.
But that is not agreed yet. And so we have to proceed with caution.
All right, thank you.
In terms of the contingency planning that may be necessary.
A Donegal deputy has hit out at the government for what he claims is the rushing through of the Sea Fisheries Amendment Bill. Deputy Thomas Pringle has told the Dáil today that the government has had ample amount of time to review the Vizanage Agreement, which dates back to the 1960s, rather than panicking now in the face of Brexit. Donegal fisherman Gerard Kelly remains on hunger strike outside Leinster House in response to the government's proposals to introduce the controversial legislation which permits foreign-owned fishing vessels using a northern address to access Irish waters. Deputy Pringle says the situation is appalling.
The Vizanage Agreement has been around since the 1960s and it's actually never been put on a legislative footnote. When you think about that, the common travel area has been around since 1922 or 23 or 24, whenever it was, and it was never put on a legislative footnote either. For all that time, you'd wonder really what government actually does. And they become a major crisis when all of a sudden we realise, oh my God, this is going to happen and we've done nothing on it. You get this whole rushed basis then of legislation to actually deal with these issues. I mean, it's appalling really. And it's a sad reflection on this Dáil. This is about fishing and it's about the reciprocal arrangements with northern fishing vessels and stuff like that there in the south. But yet, we don't actually know how much fish northern vessels catch in Irish waters. Or how much fish Irish vessels catch in northern waters. We don't know any of this. So what are we actually talking about here? What we are talking about is making sure that access is guaranteed for Dutch vessels to take mussel seed across here, across the state, and that's what we're ensuring to do. Another example of the nonsensicalness of this department is that it allowed Irish-based fishermen based around our coast to buy northern resident vessels so that they can get into it, because the whole situation is so expensive here that fishermen who grow up in the communities and want to do that livelihood cannot afford to get into it, because we have this nonsensical system where the previous government has allowed this whole tonnage system to become a private market, and so fishermen and people are excluded from it. So you've allowed and turned a blind eye to people buying licenses, boats in the north and fishing them in the south, because they've allowed all that to happen, and I think it's just appalling.
The Health Minister has today committed additional funding for the Sexual Assault Treatment Unit in Letterkenny. €500,000 is being allocated to treatment units nationally. The number of forensic nurse examiners will double and they will now be able to travel to patients if necessary. Last year, Donegal woman Dominique Meehan shared details of having to wait 5 hours and travel from Dublin to Mullingar to access a treatment unit after she was raped in 2015. Simon Harris says the funding will mean victims won't have to go through what she did.
After being violated and abused and having experienced such sexual violence, nearly the sense of being further abused by having to travel, by not being able to wash, by not being able to change your clothes, really added further pain to what was already a very traumatic situation. So first thing I want to do is thank Dominique and indeed thank others who've come forward and told their stories.
A Donegal student has told the Joint Oireachtas Committee on Climate Action that this is just the beginning of a climate revolution. Conall O'Boyle was part of a group of Donegal students who travelled to Dublin yesterday to present a petition to Minister Richard Bruton. Today he addressed the committee, raising a number of issues including the lack of infrastructure in the northwest. The student from Moff told those in attendance that climate action has been overshadowed by Brexit and now is the time to change that.
30 years ago it would not have been as possible to travel with such ease.
And now as Brexit looms, we hope what we're saying here today isn't drowned out by the terms backstop, common travel area or trade union. We hear enough about that where we live in Muff. In the past few years, it seems that everything has been about Brexit and nothing has been about climate change. The reality is that there is no progressive infrastructure in the North West that I can see. We want this progressive infrastructure. We want physical and eye-catching infrastructure. We want windmills, we want solar panels, we want houses to be retrofitted, and we want to see an Ireland that will be carbon neutral by 2030. I saw a picture on Twitter recently that showed the train systems of the world's major cities, Paris, New York and London, all with the lines that zigzagged each other. It was impossible to keep up. And then there was a diagram of Dublin. It showed one green line and one red line, with a black dotted line in between them saying, you can walk yourself. We hope the message of over 10,000 young people on Molesworth Street on the 15th of March and over 15,000 people nationwide and 1.3 million people around the world. We hope that our message has come through these thick walls of Leinster House. It would be naive of me to believe that one protest will be enough to save the world, and that's why the protests will continue. The children are doing all they can to make sure the men and women in positions of power like yourselves can hear us. We cannot vote, but that does not mean that our voices will be silenced. A wave is coming, and this is the beginning of a climate action revolution.
A man who was found with head and face injuries at a house in the Grafton Street area of Derry has died. Detectives have now issued a further appeal for information. Police received a report shortly after 25 to 7 on Tuesday morning that a 43-year-old man had been hospitalised on Monday for treatment to his injuries. Yesterday he was described as being in a critical but stable condition. Police say a post-mortem examination will now take place to establish his cause of death. Anyone who has information which may assist the investigation is being urged to contact detectives at Strand Road.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, with the latest arrivals of men's, women's and kids' clothing from leading sports labels like Nike, Adidas and Under Armour.
It's 14 minutes past five and time for the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Michaela. Good evening. Starting with schools soccer, and Ross's Community School lost out in today's FAI Tom Tisher Under-17 National Junior Cup Final. The Dunlow side were beaten 1-0 by Lucan CBS at Ray McSherry Park in Sligo. Lucan had a man sent off in the opening minutes, but Ross's couldn't make the extra man count. The goal that won the match came on the hour mark from James Harold. And the Republic of Ireland under-18 boys side, they're playing Scotland this evening in the first game of the Centenary Shield. Donegal players Corey McBride, Dara Ellison, Lee McLaughlin and Jack Doherty are in air with the squad. William O'Connor is the manager of the Irish side. Ollie Horgan and Mickey McGlynn are also on the backroom staff of that team. In League of Ireland action, Finn Harps and Derry City are preparing for Friday night's Premier Division games. Harps go to Waterford looking for their first win of the campaign. The Ballybuffet side are down four starters, with Harry Ashcroft and Sean Boyd now joining Gareth Harkin and Mark Timlin on the injured list. Ashcroft picked up a groin strain in training, while Boyd has damaged a hamstring. Nathan Boyle, he's also due to a bout of sickness. Elsewhere, Derry, they host Sligo Rovers in Friday night's North West Derby at the Ryan McBride Brandywell Stadium. Peter Cherry will need to be assessed before the game, while Patrick McLean is struggling for fitness. Those that were on international duty, they're fit and raring to go. Here's Derry boss Declan Devine.
It seems like a long time ago since the Dundalk game, but you know, the boys have worked extremely hard. You know, we've really got a lot of work on since the Dundalk game. Obviously, David Parkhouse and Owen Toole come back fresh, having had a week in Spain playing two internationals, and you know, young Ronan McKinley was playing against Finland. So we welcome international recognition for our players. The guys that didn't have international work this week worked extremely hard, so we hopefully bring that all on the game on Friday.
Well, Tuesday night's tennis ball protest has seen UEFA open disciplinary proceedings against the FAI. A smattering of balls landed on the playing surface in the 33rd minute of the European Championship qualifier win over Georgia. The protest was in reaction to John Delaney and his governance of the association. Ireland's case will be heard on May the 16th, with a fine the most likely outcome. Elsewhere, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer says he's secured the job of his dreams. The Norwegian's been handed a three-year contract to transition from the interim to the permanent manager at Old Trafford. Solskjaer said on MUTV, his appointment is the realisation of a lifetime ambition.
I've spoken about it the last few months anyway, that this is the dream job for any football interested man, especially anyone who's been involved in Man United, being given the opportunity now to move the club forward with all the potential there is. It's fantastic. Truly, yeah, it's good.
Up in Scotland, Celtic captain Scott Brown has delighted teammate Lee Griffiths is returning to training. In December, it was announced the striker would be taking a break from football to deal with ongoing issues. Brown says it's great to see Griffiths back, but the main thing is his health.
We're glad for him. We just want to give him a lot of space and let him kind of decide when he needs to come back and stuff like that. We don't want to talk about him too much. We just want to make sure he's okay and he's happy and he's back in to the place that he loves to be.
Moving on to golf, and Rory McIlroy can edge closer to a place in the last 16 of the WGC match play later this evening. The world number 4 takes on South Africa's Justin Harding, but defeat for Shane Lowry and Austin today would mean he goes no further than the group stages. He faces reigning Masters champion Patrick Reed. On the European Tour this week, the Hero Indian Open's taking place out in New Delhi, leading the way after the first round after shooting rounds of 67 for 5 under par are Stephen Gallagher and Julian Suri. In Gaelic games, Donegal, they play Meath on Saturday evening in Croke Park in the Division 2 League Final. Both sides have gained promotion back to the top flight and will look to end the campaign with silverware. Apart from Michael Langan, Kieran Thompson and Patrick McBertie, there's no other injury concerns in the Donegal camp. Manager Declan Boner says it's important to win at Croke Park.
I mean, any time you get an opportunity to go into Croke Park and you're playing for silverware, I think it's important that we sign off on that league campaign now next Saturday evening with a victory. And then I think it's important for the whole group, to be quite honest, to get in there. You know, as I say, it's a nice place to be in, a nice place, a nice venue to be in as you finish off the league campaign. Because of that competitive nature within us all, we want to go up there, we want to get a performance, and we want to win that Division 2 title. And that's been our aim since probably the match finished against Kildare last Sunday. And any day you go out to represent Donegal, wear that Donegall jersey, doesn't matter if it's in McCool Park or if it's in Ballyshannon or if it's in Healy Park, Goma or Croke Park, you want to go out and win and you want to always give it your best, and that's where we'll be looking for the lads on Sunday.
You can hear more from Declan in the sports section of our website, highlandradio.com. We'll also have a live commentary of that game on Saturday Sport from a throw-in time of 5 o'clock. In cycling, Ireland's Dan Martin finished 11th in today's fourth stage of the Tour of Catalonia. However, the UAE rider lost time on the overall race leaders and drops one place to 5th on the general classification. Astana's Miguel Lopez won today's stage and claims the overall lead with a 14-second advantage over Adam Yates. Martin is 46 seconds down on the Colombian. Tomorrow's 5th stage is a largely flat 188-kilometre trek from Sainte-Cugey. Moving on to rugby, and Bundy Aki will make his first start for Connacht since the Six Nations on Friday night. He's been restored to the centre for the European Challenge Cup quarter-final with Seal. Kieran Marriman and Jack Carty are both promoted from the bench from last week's win over Benetton. And finally for this evening in darts, Raymond van Barneveld will bid an emotional farewell to the Ahoy Arena in Rotterdam later. The 5-time world champion has already been eliminated from the Premier League, but will face his fellow Dutchman Michael van Gerwen in his last ever match in the competition. Among tonight's other matches, Derry's Daryl Gurney, he faces Mensur Sulevic. Well, that's all your sport for this evening. The next sport here in Highland will be after the 8 o'clock news tomorrow morning. For the moment, it's back to Michaela.
Thanks, Kenny. And returning to some news, there are further calls on Donegal County Council to install more traffic calming measures in two border villages as a matter of urgency. Fears are mounting in Carrigans and Calais that someone will be killed due to the high frequency of crashes in both villages. The local authority, in its response, has said that it will continue to monitor problematic locations on a county-wide basis. Councillor Paul Canning believes a ramp system would fare well in both villages and says it's clear that safety measures already established are not working.
Carrigans definitely need some form of ramps put into it. We have tried situations where we do the signage, we do the gate type islands in the middle of the road, but that doesn't seem to be working. I know they're still at early stages there, but we have looked at the situation within Carrigans Village and Killay Village, and we physically need to slow down the traffic because they are not reading the signs and they are not slowing down, and somebody is going to get killed.
And there have been numerous near misses there only in recent weeks.
Yeah, we have seen videos out there of cars, lorries, all hitting the wall there at Frank McGork's place in Carrigans, and it is serious, and it is very frightening for the people of Carrigans because they are nervous when they're leaving the village that one of these vehicles will come and wipe them out.
And you have mentioned that there have been various measures already tried and tested, I suppose, in the village. They're not working. What would you like to see the council do in its place?
I would like to see, and I'm going to pursue it, I don't care what they say, I'm going to pursue that we put ramps on the St Johnson side of Carrigans, ramps on the Derry side of Carrigans, and a ramp type crossing in the middle of the village as well. I also want to see a ramp type crossing at the chapel in Killay. I want to see those two villages with permanent ramps that physically slow the traffic down.
Weather now this evening will be dry and sunny with moderate southwest breezes. Tonight will continue dry with good clear spells at first and lowest temperatures of 2 to 5 degrees. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, a new report from the Oireachtas Justice Committee has been described as a damning indictment of government policy in recent years. That's according to the Donegal GRA spokesperson, who isn't confident that recommendations set out in the report will be acted upon. Buncrana has topped the list of areas affected by defective blocks in the county in a recent analysis of registrations by the MICA Action Group. According to the report, there are now 185 homes registered in Buncrana as having defective block issues. There's been a 75% increase in homelessness in Donegal. During the week from the 18th to 24th of February, there were 21 homeless adults in the county, up from 12 the previous month. And a Donegal deputy has hit out at the government for what he claims is the rushing through of the Sea Fisheries Amendment Bill. Deputy Thomas Pringle has told the Dáil today that the government has had ample amount of time to review the Voisinage Agreement, which dates back to the 1960s, rather than panicking now in the face of Brexit. And that's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening. The obituary notice is for this Thursday evening, March the 28th. Funeral Mass for Mary Mansfield, named McDade, Boston, and formerly of 86 Lower Main Street, Letterkenny, will take place in St Junan's Cathedral, Letterkenny, at 11 o'clock on Saturday morning. Interment of ashes afterwards to the family plot in Cornwall Cemetery. The death has taken place of Jack Crawford, 254, the Cottages, Rye Manor, Cunningham. Remains are reposing at his home. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 10:15, going to St Columbus Church, Drumahull, for 11 o'clock at funeral mass. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Rosary both nights at 10 o'clock. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desire to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member. The death has taken place of Susan McAvenue, Eskie, Mallon Head. Remains en route to her home. Funeral leaving her home on Saturday morning at 10:15, going to St Mary's Church, Lag Mallon, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock, with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time from 10 p.m. until 10 a.m. The death has occurred of Brendan O'Hagan, Key Road, Dunloe. His remains will be reposing at McGlynn's funeral home this evening from 6 o'clock with Rosary at 9 o'clock. Viewing tomorrow at 2 o'clock with Rosary at 9 o'clock. Funeral mass on Saturday morning at 11 o'clock in St Cronus Church, Dunloe, with interment afterwards in Mahery Cemetery. Family flowers only, donations in lieu of desire to the Dunloe Patients Comfort Fund, care of any family member or Sean McGlynn, funeral director. The death has occurred of Cathy McHugh Nahini, late of 193 Melmount Road, Siam Mills. Cathy's remains are reposing at Lynch's Funeral Home, 50 Castlefin Road, Castlederg, until 10 o'clock tonight. Funeral from the funeral home tomorrow morning at 9:15 for Requiem Mass at 10 o'clock in St. Teresa's Church at Siam Mills, interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. The death has taken place of Anne McDade, 1 Pierce Gardens, Strabane. Remains are reposing at her home. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 9:30 for 10 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Melmount, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time from 11 o'clock. The death has taken place of Willie Harran, 38 Meeting House Street, Strabane, and formerly of Elm Road, Dunamana. Remains reposing at his home. Funeral leaving his home tomorrow morning at 9:30 for Requiem Mass in the Church of the Immaculate Conception at 10 o'clock, interment afterwards in Strabane Cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please to Chest, Heart and Stroke, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. until 11 a.m. And the death has occurred in Kent, England, of Enda McGinley, formerly Town Park's Rafoe. His remains are reposing at his brother Eugene's residence, 234 St Junan's Terrace, Rafoe. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:40, going to St Junan's Church, Rafoe, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desire to Kevin Bell's Trust, care of any family member or Kelly's Funeral Directors.